Today, I'd like to try to convey something of a really different kind of life that the Lord has called us into. Being a Christian is really different. There's a call to a life that's unique on the earth. And when you look at people who live in the world, they could be living even very good, virtuous lives. There's something about living as a Christian that involves a call of God in your heart that causes you to live in a higher way. It's just different. And so, you know, you could think about, like, you know, everything in the world is like in shades of like just black and white and gray and all these things. And then when God lays hold on you, there's all of a sudden color. It's something different. He's calling you to a place that's unique because you have something heavenly in you and you're living a life on earth. And, you know, when you look at a brother or sister, somebody who's following the Lord, and then you see that they do something, they respond in a certain way that is different from the world, you just realize there's something more. Why would I give up something for the Lord Jesus? It makes no sense from the worldly point of view. But in this heavenly view, there's something that's like, I am living a different life. I'm living a different life. You know, and a Christian should say this: I'm different from the world. Sometimes Christians say, like, we want to be relevant to connect people to the world, you know, to connect people to the message. Well, yeah, but you got to think, what are you connecting them to? Are you making them just a good human being? That's not enough. Are you making them, showing them some kind of life where they can be one with the Lord? That's something different. And today, when we talk about these verses from Philippians, you're going to see something that's just different. It's just different. Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And I would like this to be a call to a different kind of life. It's a different kind of life. And, you know, in this passage that we're going to look at, it's not just a life that's individual before the Lord, but it's like a call to live a different life in community. And it's marvelous because it's heavenly. It involves us having the mind which was in Christ Jesus. You know, it says this: do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit. Okay, right there, that is different from the world. You know what characterizes the world? Selfishness. You know what characterizes the world? Selfishness. And then when people grasp for things in the world, so many times, it's for empty conceit. And this can be seen in worldly things, and then tragically, it can be brought into a church setting. But just suffice it to say, there's like a command, like, live a different kind of life. Don't do anything. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit. Maybe you would ask some people, I don't know who, like, don't do anything from selfishness or empty conceit. And then they would say, I don't do anything then. And that's not the kind of person that we want to describe here. It's like, I just don't do anything. But with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Humility, you know, I'm really helped by this study, and this is coming from our our study in in, you know, through Philippians that we covered in this past conference. Like, you know, if you look at humility, I sometimes wondered, like, does that mean I just should feel bad about myself? I just look at, like, I'm nothing. Well, I like this definition of humility. Is this: I need something. I need God. What is humility? I need God. You don't have to drum up some kind of false sense of like lowliness. No. That could become a trap. But you know what humility is? I need God. It's shown by the Lord Jesus when he was found in fashion as a man. He humbled himself. And in that humbling himself, you see, not that he thought, oh, I'm nothing, but he thought, I need the Father. The Son is relying on the Father. And it's seen in any kind of creator, created thing, realizing, like, I need the Creator. I'm a created being. I need the Creator. What is a real humility? It's like, I need God. And oh my goodness, if you look at somebody, a Christian, any kind of Christian, and then you have two, you could divide them into two categories. One type says this: I don't need anything, I got it all. And then the other type says this: I need God. Eileen, do you need God? Amen. Ask me. Yes. I need him right now. I need him right now. And then if we ever get into the point where, like, oh, I don't, let me, you break in, you know, you walk in those doors, I'm here, I'm ready. Come get the grace. Just realize, like, no, humility. Just, I need him. And then you just regard one another more important than yourselves. This does not mean, like, I always take your opinion. No, that would be like, it'd be funny then. Everyone regard one another more important than yourselves. And then, do you ever see those kids, like maybe in a movie, like, what do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? Everyone's regarding the other's opinion more excellent than themselves, and no one ever gets anything done. No. But it's just like, I look at you, Brianna, and I say, like, I'm here to serve you. More excellent. And then don't merely look out for your own personal interests, but for the interests of others. And it's kind of interesting, the Greek, again, it's interesting. If you look at the Greek for interest, where's David? David Wagner. Oh, he's downstairs. Oh, he's the Greek expert. If you have any questions about Greek, talk to David Wagner. I was going to ask him, what is the Greek word for interest? And then, so I have to tell you, I can't ask David. You know what the Greek word for interest is? It's the word the. So if I would translate this faithfully, accurately, according to the Greek, do not merely look out for your own the, but for the of others. So then you look at different versions and you see how different translators, like, wrestled with this. You'll see interests or you know, other things that they'll put in it. I invite you to look at different versions. It's just the. So, you know, I just think about Thomas. I'll give you an example. It's Thomas. I have my the. Come on up here. I have my the. And this is what the Bible's telling me. Don't look out for my the. Thomas has a the. You know what the for Thomas would be? Can he have the best setting in which he can grow in Christ? Can he know Christ's grace? Can he have a constant like sense of like the word just unveiling to him? You know, and then can he know Christ more? I'm looking out for his interest. It's not just to make him so-called happy, but to give him what, to think about his thought, to think about his interest, to think about his, like, what is best. And then, of course, that involves, like, you know, just regular things in his life, you know, like, you know, I hope you got all A's. I hope you make a lot of money and enough money. I hope your life is good. You know, it involves the whole person, but like especially I hope that your interest in terms of your growth with Christ, your growth with the Lord. I want to put those not merely look out for my own the, but also for the of others. Thank you, Thomas. And then can you imagine a whole church like this? Hi, Ashley. Good to see you. We're concerned for Ashley's the. Is that touching to you? She's like, sure. The. And then you just have a church like this, and then you just look around at the people, and then at the brothers and sisters around you, it's like how can I do the best for their the. Oh yeah, JD, do you guys read together, JD and I said what should I call you? Tom, Thomas, and he's a Benty. It sounds like that's what somebody your age would call you. But that's fine. I'll call you Benty. Okay, Benty. So JD reads with Benty. Are you at that time looking out for each other's the?
Yes, sure.
Yeah. How's that like? Doesn't that feel really good?
Yes.
Yeah. It's better than looking out for my the only. It's like the. Just imagine a whole church like this. Okay. That's the life. You say, Rex, I wish you would say something exciting. You just told us to look out for each other's the, and you say, that's really great. But actually, you touch that kind of life, and you realize, like, I am touching something really of the Lord's work. Because usually in our hearts, we have room for, this is my joke, whatever, we have three containers in our hearts. There's the me. There's the myself, and then there's one more container, and that's for I. And if you can get a person to think about another the, it's like, wow, that's an act of God. Act of God. And it's I say it's hard, but it's actually with the divine life inside you, it just does it automatically. It does it automatically, you know, and then, but the encouragement is there, but then you just have this life. And then, you know, so he says like, you know, what, how do you live this kind of life? How do you live this kind of life? Well, this is it. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then this word attitude, it's another interesting word. If you look at a variety of versions about that the word attitude, it's some say mindset, some say mind, have this mind in you, have this attitude. And the Greek word is phroneo, which is more than just like think about it. It's kind of like you get a mindset that is trained in your, you know, trained in your thought processes. That's a attitude, mindset. So, you know, Paul will say this, like, when I was a child, a child looks at something and then their mindset is like a certain way. And then maybe a child's mindset is mine. That is mine. Or you are playing with a toy. I want that toy. That's a child's mindset. And so I said, when I was a child, I thought as a child, I froneoed as a child. And then as you grow in your in experience and wisdom, your mindset changes. And you could say like, oh, if a person grows, his or her mindset should be different. And then Paul is asking us to have the mindset that's like the product of the way you think of like your experience, your consideration, your value judgment. Actually, your thoughts have, like, the thought processes have changed. And then we would like, Paul would like, how do you get this glorious church life just described? Well, it's by having that attitude that was in Christ Jesus in yours. Now, I wish this happened the moment somebody got believed in Jesus, the moment they got born again. I wish their mind were different. James, do you ever wish that, like, for others and for myself? I wish it, like, oh, Lord Jesus, and then boom. But now it doesn't quite work that way. It's like a process that you have to go through. And sometimes you examine the thought processes, you examine how things are going, and then you just have to realize, like, how does that compare? And how can my thought be different? And how can I just receive that mindset? Okay, but then this is the mindset. This is the mindset. And then this is the one of the most amazing pictures of Christ. And I'll read through the whole thing and then comment. Who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. We have to really think about that. But he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason, also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Okay. Isn't this hard? You look at what mind should be in us. And then you think, like, oh, I should just think like Jesus. I should just have the mindset of Jesus. And then you start to realize, like, this is what his mindset led him. And this was where it led him. And this was the pathway through which Jesus went. And this is God's thought. This is Paul's thought for every single one of us in the church life, in our life. It's this mindset. And if you look at this mindset and you wonder, like, oh, that's really hard. And I'm not talking about doing this out of your own strength, on your own gasoline, under your own electricity, under your own whatever. But I am saying that as the Lord grows in you, this mindset should be shaping you. And let me describe this mindset. He existed in the form of God. Now, the word form, if you look at the dictionaries, it's very important. The word form is like an outward expression that corresponds to what is the inward state of that person. So in other words, you can't fake a form. You cannot fake a form. So if you would say somebody is in the form of God, you know what that means? He's God. Period. You can't fake that form. And so when, you know, and then Jesus, you know, he says, glorify me with the glory which I had with you before the world was, you know, and so, you know, in eternity past or in the, you know, before the incarnation, you could say that Jesus was, the Son was shining in the form of God. And then you look at him or people or whatever, beings would witness his manifestation and they would say, that's God. But then he had a very interesting attitude. He didn't regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. So he just looked at that and was like, you know what? I'm not going to, like, at all costs, hold on to this thing called equality with God. So then you could veer into a heretical thought, not a heretic, because there's a lot of people with heretical thoughts, but they're not heretics. They're just uneducated. Okay. The heretical thought is like, oh, when he was born as a man, he was no longer equal with God. Don't say that. Actually, the Bible doesn't say that. He says he was equal with God, even as when he was a human being, he was equal with God. Don't say that. But he didn't like look at that equality with God to be like, oh, gotta keep it. I gotta keep it. And then that's true with a lot of people. It's like, well, if I take care of that other person, what about me? And then I know there could be abuses, whatever of that. But like, oh, if I take care of that, what about me? And then the Lord, when he was in the form of God, he was like, I just don't see that equality with God is something to be grasped at all costs. At all costs. And so he could do this. Emptied himself. Just empty. And what did he empty himself of? He didn't empty himself of the equality with God. But he says this, taking the form of a bond servant. So he just, like, he was in the form of God. Then he emptied himself and then took the form of a bondservant. And that's significant. So you look at him in his incarnation, in his as a human being. He's like, he says amazing things. He says this, I'm here to serve you. And then he was the form of a servant. So outside he looked like a servant. Inside he had the reality of a servant. He was servant through and through. And then, you know, one time, he's like, just girded himself, took off his outer garment, girded himself with a towel, and just like went from disciple to disciple, washing the disciples' feet. And then Peter's like, no. You shouldn't do that to me because, like, you're the master. And then the Lord's like, no, I need to do this to you. And you should do this to one another. And you just see him, like, took that form of a servant. And you know, like, I would say, like, this is a central message of this whole thing. It's like, he did not, he emptied himself of the form of God, taking the form of a servant. You know, if you look at theology stuff, you know, and then, you know, this is called the kenosis section. kenosis, which is from the Greek word empty. And I don't like it. I take issue with those theologians. I would not call this the kenosis section, because I would pick up another word, because then the whole thought is like, I'm nothing, I'm nothing, I'm nothing. Look in the mirror, you're nothing, you're nothing, you're nothing, and then you just like, just go into the ground, die, whatever, I don't know. But kenosis for what? The kenosis is to take the form of a servant. And that word is doulos. Some people translate it slave. And so I'm not a theologian of that standing. I would not call it kenosis. I would call it the doulos section. Because then that doesn't emphasize how you got there, how he got there. That emphasizes what he became. You know what he became? I am here as a servant. Take the form of a servant. And so it's not really like, you know, it's not really just I emptied myself. Like, hi, Thomas, let me introduce you. Thomas would say, how was your week? And then I would say, I emptied myself. And you're like, you taking up Buddhism or something? Like, what? Are you becoming nothing? No, it's not the emptying that's the focus. Like, how was your week? I was a bondservant. I took the form of a servant. And then, you know, what a life in that kind of way. I talked to a mother of a young baby who I will not mention their name, but the baby was born about 4 weeks ago. I just saw, when I saw that mother, I just felt like servant. 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 And then, yeah, there's some emptying. Sure. Like, you just can't, like, go out in the snow right away. You can't go to a lot of places right away. But when I talked to them, it wasn't like, hey, how's it going? They didn't say, like, I'm so empty. It's like, I'm serving. I'm serving. And then, you know, this is a possible kind of life. What am I doing in my life? I am a servant. Colleen, is it good to be a servant?
Yes.
Sometimes people just I ask how your job is going, and they say, like, well, it's okay, but all I'm doing is making money for a bank. I want my job to change the world in a positive way. Like, it's not, Betsy, is that job possible? Maybe. But there's a, and I don't know if you can always get a job. Sometimes you just got to get a job. Just flip the hamburger and give it to them, you know? And then you get money, and then you don't have to beg, you know? That's not a bad life. You know, it's not terrible. People want to make a difference because there's something inside. I want to serve. And then I would say the reality of this comes when you have the attitude which was in Christ Jesus. And then you just realize, like, I am just a servant. And, you know, and then, you know, taking the form of a servant, he's made in the likeness of man. That means he's in appearance as a man, but there was something more in him, but he really looked like a man. And then being found in appearance as a man, like, he could walk down the street and many people would not say, I just passed God. He's just in appearance as a man. And then, you know, it's just like, it's amazing. He is amazing. You know, and some people say, like, He says, I am light of the world. And then the rest of John 8 is like, no, you're not. Basically, John 8 goes like, woman caught in adultery and saved. And then Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And then argument. That's it. Okay, that means they don't realize who he is. Like if God is there and he says, I am the light of the world, you should just say like, yeah. But when Jesus said, I am the light of the world, then they're like, no. Why? Appearance as a man. Appearance as a man. And he's there. And then as that man, he humbled himself as the man by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Your real service is your death with Christ. Sometimes you think, well, I can serve God a lot if I do a lot. He served God a lot because he died a lot. And this, something that's deep. How is the church blessed? Church is not simply blessed by a lot of activity. Church is blessed by a lot of death. Where does the blessing come from? It comes from death. I am crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live. Pick up your cross daily. Deny yourself. You're joined with him, united with him in the likeness of his death. And then you just touch something. You realize, like, there's something alive in me that is me. It's independent. And he became obedient even to the point of death. And then God would just say to you, die. Spiritually, die. Let it go. Don't say it. Or say it. Just don't stand with who you are. And then there's no other way. The grain of wheat had to fall into the ground and die. And then it could spread. And there's no other way. There's no other way. And as appearance of a man, he humbled himself and then just said, you know what? God the Father, I've never seen Rome. I haven't been that far. I might have gone just to Akron and back. Little trip to Egypt when I was a toddler. I haven't talked to that many people. I only have these 12, and one of them betrayed me. I have 11. Three are close. Hardly anybody knows what I'm doing. And I'm not going to make that better. And now, Father, it's time you said I should just die. I never wrote a book. I never wrote a gospel. I don't have any work that will last. You told me to be a carpenter. I was a carpenter. Everything I do is going to rot. If you would have made me a stonemason, I would have some hope. That's it. And then God the Father just says, now it's time. And he says, Father, if there's any other way, let it be that way, but not my will and yours. And he died. And then God's like, he's mine. For this reason, highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. He didn't try to become famous. He didn't try. He just died in God's ordained way. You look at a brother, sister, how can I help you? Die. What does that mean? I don't know. It doesn't mean beat yourself till you bleed. No. Some people think that it's not true at all. It's worthless. But it means there's something there that God gives you where you just realize it can't be me. Only you. Only you. And God looked at that with Jesus and he said, I highly exalt him for that reason. It's almost like the father was like, I had David, I had Solomon, I had Samson, I had Jonah, I had all of them. And they all had their good points. But with the son, the father would say, he cared for me. Cared for me. And then there was this blossoming. What a church life. What a church life. Let this attitude be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus.